Hello, and a very warm welcome to Monocle on Design Extra. It's a show brought to you by the team behind Monocle's dedicated weekly design program. I'm its researcher, Nick Manise. Each episode, we turn our gaze to the design stories that many overlook. And today, we're profiling Alexander Girard, the design polymath who created everything from bold graphics and textiles to colourful branding for Braniff International Airlines. Perhaps less known than his contemporaries, such as the Eameses and Eero Saarinen, Girard was nonetheless a leading figure in American post-war design, who often looked to folk art for inspiration. Alexander Girard, A Designer's Universe, is a travelling exhibition organised by the Vitra Design Museum. We meet the show's curator, Johan Eisbrand, to find out more about Alexander Girard's life and legacy.
We have Alexander Girard's archive here at the museum, so it's a real treasure trove to dig in and to create this exhibition from. I think you really had an outstanding sense of color and color combinations. There's so much in the archive. We have so many works where he just put together different types of color to try if they would work for textile designs. I think there's a number of influences to his work. Foremost, he came from a very cosmopolitan family that, and from his youth on, from childhood days on, he would travel a lot, so he saw a lot. And already his grandfather had collected folk art. He had collected samplers, those textile samplers, of which he gave some to Girard. He had collected nativities, of which he also passed on some to his grandson. So he was raised in this very cosmopolitan surroundings and in a family that already traded with these things and designed things. So that was, it was running in the family, so to speak. Through his travels, I think he early on encountered folk art in many different countries and cultures. It seems he was intrigued by the fact that you, across also political boundaries at the time, you did see quite a few commonalities in these folk art motifs that were really recurrent in very different parts of the world. And these commonalities he appreciated. And his aesthetic, I think, is so timeless because he drew a lot of inspiration from the folk art he saw. And so those were very, in a way, timeless motifs. Or if they were not, he would give them a contemporary, simplified shape. So those were motifs that really had gone through the ages, and he took them and created something contemporary out of it. He was immediately well known for his textile designs that he created for Herman Miller, because they were something really new. That was actually the reason why Charles Eames and George Nelson had wanted him to come to Herman Miller, the furniture company, also based in Michigan, to become the director of the textile division of Herman Miller. And he had an immense output of textiles. So by the quality and the sheer mass of these, that was something that was really out there. And then among his interior design projects, I think the Miller House, also in the Midwest in Columbus, is a fantastic example of his work as an interior designer. The same goes for La Fonda del Sol restaurant in New York with a South American theme. It was really well thought through and prepared. He traveled to South America for a month to collect things for decoration and to really create this atmosphere of a South American city or town having a fiesta in this restaurant. The L'Etoile restaurant in New York, another example, much more reduced with just black and white colors and very geometric, fantastic work. And then probably his largest commission ever, the work for the Braniff airline, where he again used color as a main design tool and created seven different hues in which the fuselages of the airplanes were painted and that were then also reflected in the interiors. He worked with Pucci on the flight attendant uniforms and did all the graphics and the typo. So it was really a complete work of art. He's sort of a link between this mid-century modern and this pop aesthetic that came up in the 60s, and that's much more playful and colorful. And I think there's also, in his textile designs of the 60s, there's also a bit of op art in there, you know, these geometric patterns. When we prepared this show and had the privilege to go into the archives day by day, we were again and again struck by the sheer mass of things he had created. He didn't have a large studio. It was basically him and his wife, Susan, of course, supporting him and I think looking a bit after the finances. And then he had some assistants helping him on different projects. He didn't get the recognition that he deserved for quite a while. And I think there's a number of reasons. One is that he excelled in interior design and in textile design. And interior design is, for some reason, less highly regarded than architecture, I would say. It's also much more ephemeral. So his great works, La Fonda and L'Étoile, they don't exist anymore. It's very fortunate that the Miller House still exists and you can still visit it. The Indianapolis Museum of Art is looking after it. And then for textiles, it's similar. I think product design gets more recognition than textile design. And often with these pieces of furniture, then at the time produced by Herman Miller or Vitra, you would know the designer of the chair or the sofa, but not necessarily the person who designed the textiles that it was upholstered with. So it has to do with the disciplines that he worked in and with the ephemeral character of a lot of what he did. And then maybe also a bit with the person himself, because he was a very modest character. He didn't really publish anything about his work, let others do that, and was much more interested in bringing the things he collected into the foreground rather than his own personality. So many of his textiles, they appear really timeless to me, and I think they still work today. As I mentioned earlier, that's probably because he was inspired by these much older motifs and patterns that he found in folk art. That's what makes them so timeless. And then one of the greatest experiences I had doing all this research was actually visiting the Miller House in Columbus, because that interior is still intact, and that's just marvelous. And I think also his notion of interior design was that to regard the interior, the domestic interior, the residential interior, as a stage with ever-changing props. So you decorate and you redecorate. In the Miller House, he even had different decorations for the summer and the winter. It's just so human and warm and modern.
Our thanks to Johan Eisbrand there, who is speaking to Monocle's Sonia Zurovliova. Alexander Gerard, a designer's universe, travels to the Franz Mayer Museum in Mexico City this October. But if you can't wait until then, a virtual version of the exhibition is available to peruse at your leisure at the internationalmuseumoffolkart.org. And that's all for this week. If you're eager for more design stories, listen to our full-length program airing on Tuesdays, 8 p.m. London time. Meanwhile, if you're missing your local newsstand, then you should of course take out a subscription to Monocle magazine so you don't miss an issue. You can also get our daily bulletins, peruse our many books on everything from global politics to cozy homes, buy our fetching collaborations, or listen to our round-the-clock radio station, all at monocle.com. Today's episode was produced and edited by Maylee Evans. I'm Nick Manese. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.